Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
The book of Philippians is about participation or fellowship together for the believers. What it takes, what are the elements, what are the principles, what is involved in our fellowship together. We know from Scripture that we are already united together in Christ. If you have received Christ and you're born of His Spirit, we are all one in Him already. Paul addresses the issues that have to do with what we in our humanness cause to bring an interruption in that oneness and fellowship together. So the book of Philippians is all about fellowship. In verses 3 through 8, the prayer of Paul, as he introduced to us in verses 3 to 6, the foundation of fellowship. First of all, commendation, he thanked God. He says, every time I think of you, I thank God for you. And he mentions the characteristic that is true for every genuine believer. Upon your fellowship toward the gospel from the first day until now. Endurance and continuing is what the Bible teaches is the characteristic of the genuine believer. Because it isn't the person who is enduring and continuing, it is the Spirit of God causing them to endure and to continue. And then the confidence of Paul in verse 6, having been confident or persuaded of this very thing, that is because you have continued from the first day until now, that the one who has begun a good work in you will complete it or perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Everyone who is truly and genuinely born of God and belongs to Christ, the Lord will bring what he has started to completion and will fulfill it. Then we saw the participation in fellowship, verses 7 and 8. He says, I have you in my heart that even though I am imprisoned, that you are partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and the defense and establishment of the gospel. And so participating together in God's grace, prayer, supplies, fellowship. Paul didn't see himself alone in prison, representing Christ. He saw them all together participating in grace. Verses 9 through 11, as we start this morning, the edification of fellowship. And this I pray, that your love may increase yet more and more, in full knowledge and in all perception. That's perception from human faculties. In order that you may test the things which are differing, in order that you may be transparent and without offense until the day of Christ, having been filled of the fruits of righteousness which are through Jesus Christ for the glory and the praise of God. Focus on one thing for a few minutes in verse 9. We studied Paul's prayer. He gave thanks for them, told us why he gave thanks for them, and expressed his knowledge of their genuineness, that they exhibited the genuine characteristics of the believer in their life. But now is his petition of Paul. A prayer is a general prayer and a petition is for specifics. So he says, in light of all this, now he says, and this I am praying, in order that your love may increase yet more and more in full knowledge and in all judgment or perception. So he's praying for their love to increase. This is the agape love. It has the definite article with it. The love, not just love in general, but the particular love that belongs to God. Now, realize what I'm saying. It is the love that belongs to God. It is not a human love. There are other Greek words that express the human love. But three things quickly that I want to mention to you. The genesis of love, that is its beginning, its source. The growth of love, and the goal of love this morning. First of all, the genesis, the source, the beginning of love. Agape love does not begin with us. We do not generate or produce agape love. In Ezekiel chapter 36, at verse 27, the prophecies of old began with God telling that for his people that he would send his spirit and that his spirit would cause them to obey his covenants and his spirit would cause them to love. Now, the two commands that we all have heard from the New Testament, Jesus said all the commandments are summarized in two commands. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But as I have pointed out over the years, that's not a command. Thou shalt is literally you will. You will love the Lord your God, and you will love your neighbor as yourself. That's the command. You see, God's Spirit, he's sending his Spirit, and God's Spirit would love through us, and God's Spirit will cause us to obey. So the command is, you will love, because my Spirit will be in you and cause you to love. The scripture says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, that God is love. So love is not an action. Love is the very nature of God himself. Everything that he does is love. When Jesus came and took the whips and drove the money changers and the merchants out of the temple because they were defiling the temple of God, that was love. And I would suggest to you again, as I said the first hour, we are Gentiles and we are pagans, and our view of what love is, we have the wrong view. Ours is from the perspective of human. And how people treat us and how things affect us, that's how we judge love. Even with the tornadoes and the devastations that have happened, people are saying, where's the God of love when all of this is happening and people are injured or people are killed and people are hurt? You see, we judge love by our human perspective. God is love. Everything that he is and everything that he does is love. Agape love. So 1 John 4:8, love is the very nature and person of God. But in Galatians 5:22, it tells us that love, agape love, is produced by the Holy Spirit. Well, that summarizes it all. Once I have received the Spirit of Christ, it is the Spirit of Christ who himself in his nature is love, that produces agape love. When I say produce, I mean the Spirit of God produces it. He doesn't give it to me to produce. He produces it through me and in me. And so the very source, the very genesis, the very beginning of love, we have to understand that it was foretold from the Old Testament even unto our day, that God is this agape, and when he sends his spirit will be the agape, and his spirit will produce the agape. And in our text, it's implied in the text that they already have it. This I am praying, that your love may increase yet more and more. He didn't say that you should get it, or that you should start loving people, but that it should increase. That brings us to the growth of love. Look, it's through these two things. He says that you might increase yet more and more in full knowledge and in all perception or judgment. God's love increases its influence in my life as a matter of growth and maturity. In fact, we'll see in a moment in the goal of love that that is the defining element that marks the difference between a mature believer and an immature believer. An immature believer functions on the basis of fear. A mature believer functions on the basis of love, caring. I care about what the Lord thinks. I care about what he wants me to do. So, through the growth process, through the full knowledge, not just partial knowledge, but through the full knowledge, and through judgment, perception of God working. These are the human elements of, or faculties of perception. And it is through this physical world that we gain spiritual insight as to who God is. We find in 1 John 4:19, it says, we love God because he first loved us. So our love for him is a response. The more I am exposed to studying about his love for me, the more God's Spirit produces a response of love for him. So I feel bad for some Christians that have been stuck in churches for years and they've just heard the rules and regulations, but they've never been exposed to the love of Christ. They murmur and complain about what God wants them to do. But if they realized what God did for them, it would humble their hearts, cause them to submit. So in full knowledge, as we study God's complete knowledge, growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and in all perception and judgment, that is perceiving God in life, in the physical world around us, his care and provision, all of these experiences, it causes our love to grow and to mature. And the goal of love, the goal of love is that God's agape love should be the influence and the motivating force for all that we do. God's goal is to bring us to maturity in Christ, that everything that we do in submission to him, in sacrifice to him, and in receiving and acknowledging all that he's doing in our lives comes out of the motive of love. John says in 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in agape, but perfect love, that is love that has been brought to maturity, casts out fear. because fear has torment. The one who fears has not been matured in love. See, it's the motive for what we do. If I don't do this, God might strike me dead. I remember a couple in Los Angeles that were very faithful, came every week. They were going to go on a camping trip. And they said they were very busy preparing for their camping trip. Really didn't have time to come to study, but they decided to anyway because they figured if they didn't, then something tragic would happen on their trip. Needless to say, 2 weeks later when they came back, they never showed up again. The basis for them coming, the motive, was fear. If I don't, something's going to happen to us on the trip. Matured love, being matured in agape love, that his influence and motivation is the mark of maturity. Whatever pleases him. Love is sacrificial. Look what Jesus did for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God's agape for us was his sacrifice and provision for our sins. So when God asks me to lay down my life, and here in America, we don't really have a problem, folks, not compared to the other believers in history. We don't literally have to lay down our lives. We have to lay down what we want. Remember Sennacherib in Isaiah 10 this morning? I have done this. By my hand, I have conquered the nations. And God said, oh, yeah? No, you're just an instrument of my hand. I gave you that power. I sent you. And here you are in your confident boasting in yourself. I want. When we get to Isaiah 14, it will tell us about the fall of Satan, how he expressed the five I wills. I will be like God. I will be, I will be, I will be. It's always centered on myself, what I want, what I'm not getting. Mature love, agape love, is sacrificial. Doesn't matter what I want. Whatever he wants. You know, putting our study together from this morning, as we saw that God is even in charge of injustices and evil that have been brought upon believers' lives. Agape love says, remember the great spiritual word I introduced you to a couple of weeks ago? You remember what it was? Whatever. Look what's happening to your life. Whatever. I mean, you know, it's God. What can I say? You mean he's doing, yeah. Why would he allow harm to come? I'm a sinner. I need correction. I need discipline. In fact, I need to be destroyed. But it's just tribulation, so that's God's mercy. He's correcting me. Agape says, whatever it takes. Whatever God wants to do. It expresses submission and surrender and trust. Mature love casts out fear. Mature love is a development of a relationship, not a principle. And to think that God's Spirit gives us this love, God's Spirit increases this love, makes it abound more and more to influence us and motivate us to do what we do. So this I am praying in order that your love might increase yet more and more in the full knowledge and in all perception. So they already had love because they already have the Lord. But he's praying for their maturity. He's praying for them, since you continue in the gospel, I know that you'll learn, you will increase in the full knowledge of God. Why? Because you're involved with learning from the Word. And allowing that Word to teach you that in the perceptions of life, as you perceive the physical world around you, you begin to see His love and provision for you. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this time and thank you for your love. We thank you that in your love you are patient, you are kind. In your love you endure and you tolerate us in our immaturity, just like we tolerate our own children and tolerate one another. Sometimes we are impatient, but we understand that because you have perfect patience and understanding, we experience more of your love and faithfulness to us. We thank you for what your word in the full knowledge, not just bits and pieces, how in the full knowledge it reveals the full nature of the God of love. And we see his hand of love in our lives, even in correction and discipline. So we continue that we pray now that by your Spirit you would take this knowledge that we've been exposed to for 2 hours and take this knowledge and help us to perceive and in judgment of life to know you and your love and provision for us and acknowledge it and surrender to you, because we know that you are motivated by love in your leading and control of our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.